Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Peyton, Lee Cantor here with you this afternoon. Lee, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast author, musician, and the guy behind LandryAtTheBayou.com, Mr. Landry, and I'm going to let you pronounce your last name. Landry, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine. How are you yourself?
We are doing well. Landry, you got a lot on your plate, music and writing. How do you balance those two things out?
Well, I guess I'm driven in terms of the kind of impact I want to leave, especially for the West African market audience. I grew up in West Africa, in the country of Cameroon, to be specific. And I guess until I came to the United States and begin to participate in programs like the Alt MBA, and, you know, really begin to get into the workforce and begin to realize the potential that is within me and how I can actually do things for others, that I don't always have to be on the receiving end. So that's one of the epiphanies I've had in my life. So once I began to realize that, I said, okay, I'm going to give myself permission to actually put things out there. So I do have a main job to sustain myself, but at the same time, I do everything in my power, you know, after hours, to either write or to come up with music that can sensitize people and literally empower them to be the best that they can be. And especially, again, the West African audience is my target audience.
So do you still have family in West Africa?
Yes, my parents live there. Obviously, I have a lot of extended family there, but I myself reside in the United States right now.
Now, why is it important to you to continue to serve the West African market, even though you've moved to America?
Because when I grew up there, we used to get like, for instance, let's say you would buy a brand new gadget, right, from the West. And then that gadget was like amazing, like, you know, you're buying a remote control, you know, car, or, you know, you're buying a brand new bike, or you're watching an amazing movie. And then the thing that would always come up to our mind whenever we would see something that amazing was the following message: white man knows better. And it's a very innocent message that we would tell ourselves at the time, but it's also very corrupting in the sense that we would play down ourselves. We would play down our own value, and we would play down our own abundance because we think that someone always knows better than we do. And it took me traveling and going around the world to realize that that is not true, that we all have our own value. We all have our own abundance. We only need to be reminded of it. And that's exactly what I aim to do. With my work, with the music, and with the writing, I aim to remind West Africans how abundant they already are and that they don't have to play small in comparison to the West.
Now, are your books fiction or nonfiction?
They're nonfiction. So they talk about essentially principles to live by. They tend to inspire, and they use my life stories as an example to highlight the points that I want to highlight.
So what are the some of the principles that people should live by?
So in the first book, which is called The Ten Commandments of the New Economy, I talk about principles, very simple principles like being responsible, being authentic, being grateful, and things like that. Those are very simple, but they encompass in them the jewels of life, if I can say it like that. Because whenever you give yourself permission to be who you really are, then you're not trying to manipulate and you're not trying to control, but you're just trying to serve. So another principle, which is to be grateful, is to recognize what's already around you and how much it has served you. And then once you can recognize that, then indeed you're living more plentifully, and then you can come from a place where you simply want to give to others as well. So those are some of the principles that I explore.
Now, in some of the African countries, there's a lot of poverty. How does the message resonate when a lot of these people don't have a lot themselves, but you're telling them that they should be open to giving to others?
Well, the poverty you're talking about is the poverty you're mentioning is material poverty, but we have spiritual abundance. So if you're looking at poverty in terms of just materials, yes, there's a lot of poverty, but there's also a lot of material abundance. But what I'm really trying to address is the spiritual abundance, right? It's the abundance of spirit, the abundance of intelligence, the abundance of living in terms of community, the abundance of knowing that because we have each other, we can create something meaningful. That's the kind of abundance I'm talking about. And I believe everyone can resonate with that message.
I agree. I think that that's a great message. And in your travels, have you found that there's people, maybe they have a lot of materialistic abundance, but they don't have a lot of spiritual abundance?
Yes, that happens, that you have materialistic abundance and you don't have the spiritual. And also you can have the spiritual and don't have the material. And truly what I'm going for is I'm trying to go for a balance of both. I don't think it's ideal to live with one without the other. I think that a balanced life is where you have the true. But I truly believe that it begins with the spiritual abundance at first, you know. For example, look at creating a country like the United States. It began with a vision and with a profound desire to be free and with a profound desire to create a kind of nation where people can unleash their potential. So I think that any kind of abundance, even when we talk about physical abundance, always begins with that kind of a vision and that kind of a well-being platform, from where you can start building things and then be of service to people, whether you're creating technology, whether you're creating education, whether you're creating jobs or all kinds of things. But the roots, the basis, the foundation of that is that spiritual abundance.
Now, when you message, are your audiences resonating with it?
They are resonating with it, but it's not spreading right now. For one thing, is because I don't necessarily have like a big marketing presence out there. So the few people that I talked to here, they very much resonate with it. But you can also tell that they're kind of uncomfortable with it because it's a very brand new message that takes us into a brand new paradigm, you know? Mm-hmm. And being able to accept that kind of message fully and embody that is a little bit uncomfortable because you've been living differently up to now. So there is that resonance in terms of people are a little bit uncomfortable, which to me is a good sign. And there's also that resonance in the sense that I see them passing the book around. But it hasn't reached the mass scale that I'm looking for, but there's a good beginning there, if I can put it like that.
Now, why do you think that you're the appropriate vessel for this message to be told?
Because I lived in their shoes, and because in a lot of sense, I have overcome a lot of the limiting beliefs that we lived with within that region. And because I truly, truly, sincerely care about those people, because I do have a love for those people more than anybody else, it makes me feel amazingly good to see them do well. It makes me feel amazingly good to see them thrive. So that is definitely the niche audience that I want to start with and then go from there.
Now, how did you kind of elevate yourself outside, out of that?
Well, by doing two things. The first thing was to come out as a gay man. So believe it or not, you might think it's not tied, but to give myself permission to do something that was very taboo in my country, helped me to have wings. And that was a very, very difficult journey. But then on the other side of that journey, what I was able to do for the first time in my life was to make music, was to write books, was to be bold about the message that I wanted to share. And was also willing to actually receive feedback without losing any self-value. Because before coming out, I would always tell myself I'm unworthy because I'm a gay man, right? And because I grew up in a culture where being gay is the ultimate sin. But eventually when I came out and I realized I was okay, I was like, okay, so actually I can actually share what I believe. I can actually share what I think can make us thrive. I can actually share everything that I was hesitant to share up to this point, because I was afraid of who I am. So that's the one thing. I think that's just the one thing. That was the one biggest thing, really, I guess. I said two things, but I would say that's the one biggest thing.
Now, where did the music come from? Were you always involved with music growing up?
Yeah, I've always wanted to do music. I was always listening to a lot of music, and I've always been in choirs and singing and things like that. And I always had a message that I wanted to share, but I was never quite bold and courageous enough to do that. Eventually, when I came out, I decided to attend a jazz workshop. And in the jazz workshop, I met a producer, and we together recorded a cover album of all the American classics, jazz classics. So I did that, and then it gave me permission. I was bolder after that album to say, okay, actually, I want to write songs, meaning lyrically and also melodically. And I also want to work with a producer who can flesh out some music around those songs. And so that led to the second album, where half was original and then half was cover. And then eventually that led to the third album, where most of it was original. But this was still for the English market. And now I realize that now, in addition to writing books for the West African market that I was targeting at the time, let me also put together an album for that very same market. Now, that album actually is in French this time, because the Cameroon official language is French, and that is the niche market that I do want to reach. And so slowly but surely now I can write music and I can put melody around it, and I can craft the message to reach them in a way that they can resonate with it. And because I understand the culture, I understand the musical sensitivities down there, so now I can ship the product to really have an impact to the very specific market that I'm looking for.
And all of this is available on your website, LandryAtTheBayou.com, right?
Correct. You can get links to those on my website. Every album that I've made is available on Spotify, iTunes, and all the typical distribution venues. And also the books are available on Amazon. There's one book in English, so the English audience can read it. It's called Create: A Letter to the Soul of Africa, which I got a really, really good feedback from, especially from Africa living abroad, meaning the African diaspora living in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But the other book is in French, which is called The Ten Commandments of a New Economy. So for that one, you have to be a French speaker.
Now, for you, what is the best outcome? What is your perfect outcome if everything goes as you plan it?
The perfect outcome would be to see African people living bold life, right? Not playing small anymore, not being hesitant about creating, not being afraid to fail, literally living bold lives, living on the edge of life. Because I feel that we are transitioning as a species from being very tribal into this universal human type of species, where we're going to have more common values than that we have different values. And I think that's what's going to make way for this thing that we call the global economy. And then we're going to be sharing more and more values together. You know, the internet has made all of this possible. But in order for us to step into this new human cycle, this new human evolution, we have to have the guts to be truly who we are. We have to have the guts to present what we have to showcase. We have to have the guts to be bold about what we believe. It has to be a very radical authenticity. And that's what I'm hoping my books can do. I hope they can unlock that in them. I hope the music can give them permission to be bold about who they are and to be proud about who they are.
Now, do you see humans being able to evolve outside of their tribes? Because it seems like for every step we take towards flattening the globe and everybody being connected, we take a step backwards where people want to just lock into their tribe and kind of villainize everybody who is not in their tribe. And I would imagine in Africa, that is even exasperated more so than in other places on the planet.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, right? It's the process of evolution. So some people are going to be hanging on very tight to old-fashioned values, and some people will be able to embrace whatever the new has to offer. And eventually, we kind of have to find a balance in there, because it's not about completely rejecting the old and fully embracing the new, you know, or rejecting the new and fully embracing the old. Literally, it's about looking toward what is best serving humanity. I don't think we're ever going to get rid of diversity, you know, for the sake of just having everything uniform. I think diversity is always going to be part of our richness. So it's good that people like old things. It's good that people like new things. But I think what we can do as a species is we can develop the values where we give people the platforms to literally be who they want to be without having to subject them or to beat them into conformity and saying this is the right way and this is not the right way. So I think that's what we're moving towards.
Yeah, my philosophy is that you can believe in whatever you'd like to believe in, just don't kill me.
Exactly. I couldn't have said that better. That's it. Yeah, and that is a set of values that we do have to acquire as a species, for sure.
We're working on.
I think the more we travel, the more we get to know other cultures, the more we can start to relate, because truly we do have a lot in common as well, even though we have to make. Even though we do have many things that are not so much in common, we also do have a lot that is in common. And as long as we understand that, we can also respect our differences. We don't have to necessarily celebrate all of our differences, but we can truly get to the place where we respect our differences and we celebrate our own lives. And I think that would be a beautiful place.
Absolutely. Well said. Can you talk a little bit about what drove you to sign up for the Alt MBA program? How'd you find out about it and why was it important for you to invest in it?
Because I wanted to get a tool that can allow me to leap not only in my profession, but also in my personal project. And I was hoping to also find a tribe of people who want to make a difference in the world, you know? Because sometimes when you do a lot of things, you can really find yourself sometimes on your own, in your own little corner. And when you find other people who do the same thing, who believe the same things, who are out there on the edge, always making a ruckus, always making new things, you know, failing and getting back at it and trying until they get it right. Being surrounded by that is very comforting and it gives me the juice and the inspiration to go forward. So that's what the Art MBA gave me, literally the tribe of people that I was looking for to feel good about what I'm doing and also the tools, keep being professional at what I'm doing. You know, one of the biggest tools, for instance, is getting the feedback. I was very, very, very hard at receiving feedback. It was very easy for me to always get to give feedback, but not as easy to receive it because I would always buckle down and kind of get in a fighting position because I would always receive feedback as a threat to what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But what I know today is that whenever people give me feedback, they're really telling me how they see the world. And if I want to serve them, then it's to my advantage to receive that feedback and to shape my product so that it would actually resonate with them in terms of their worldview. So those are some of the benefits that I got from it.
Now, was there anything about going through the process that surprised you or was it how you imagined it?
Oh, no, it was very surprising. You know, the fact of being in groups, the fact of having to rotate with groups every 1 week, you know, the process of shipping and getting feedback and shipping and getting feedback and shipping and getting feedback. Actually, that was the most surprising thing. I think everything else that was semi-surprising, but just the rotation of shipping and getting feedback and shipping and getting feedback was the most surprising thing and also, in my opinion, the most impactful thing from that, because I think that what Seth Godin is trying to do with that program is to induce in its participants the innovation mindset, you know, to get in the mindset of always shipping and always receiving feedback and then getting back to the drawing board and shipping again and repeating that cycle over and over and over again. I think it's a powerful cycle. I think it's a powerful mindset. And if you stay in that mindset, whether it's in your relationship, in your work, in your project, I think you're going to be a really, really thriving human being.
Now, have you been able to implement some of the things you learned in the program in your real life?
Absolutely. I was already implementing some of them. So it's just a matter of now getting them more momentum and doing it more consciously now. But yeah, the process of shipping definitely has been there in my life already. It's the process of getting feedback now that I'm getting much better at it. So whenever I get feedback now, I'm a lot more open-minded. You know, I don't buckle down anymore. I receive it and I analyze it and I see how I can implement it to be better. So that's really one of the biggest added value, was to be able to receive feedback and to do that professionally.
And to kind of change the shift the paradigm to getting feedback, is it really a gift and it is generous of the person?
Oh my God, that's exactly it. It is truly a gift. Yeah, that's exactly how I look at it now. It's somebody telling me how they want to be served. That's how I look at it.
Good stuff. Well, do you have any more books and music ahead of you? I'm sure you do. Are you working on anything right now?
Yeah, I have one more book in the pipeline right now. It's going to be a collection of it's going to be a collection of poems and quotes paired up with photos. So it's going to be a photo book, and I'll be working eventually, because right now I'm still working on the content. I'm like halfway there. Eventually, once I'm done with that, I'm going to be looking for a photographer who can go actually to West Africa and take some pictures to reflect the abundance that's already there. Because my idea with this book is to sell to West Africans the abundance that's already surrounding them. And I need a really good photograph to go down there and capture that. So that's going to be that. And then obviously I'm working also on an album that's going to be called African Wisdom, but it's going to be a French album again. And it's simply going to be capturing the wisdom that we already have, but that's going to frame it in a modern way and then package it in such a way that it can resonate with West Africans. So those are the two things I'm working on.
Well, you're a busy man, Landry. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much.
And if you want to find out more about what Landry is up to, you can go to his website, LandryAtTheBayou.com. That's LandryAtTheBayou.com. Landry, thank you so much for being part of the show today. It is really inspirational, and we really appreciate your efforts in trying to change the world and make it a better place. Thank you.
Well, I thank you very much for this opportunity, and hopefully we can do this again. Thank you so much.
All right, until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our guest today, Landry, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family, saying we'll see you in the fast lane.